I'm joined on Radio Jackie today by Helen Maguire, who is the MP for Epsom and Yule. To start off with, if we can get your reaction to the results of the US election results, it'd be marvellous.
Yeah, so obviously the results wasn't the results that we would have liked, and I think it's a particularly concerning time for people. The world's largest economy and most powerful military is now being led by an individual who, you know, is erratic at times. And it's quite understandable that people across the UK and across the world might be concerned about the damage that Trump will do to our economy and our national security. And so I think at a time like this, it's now more important than ever that we actually fix our broken relationship with the EU. And it's really important that we strengthen our trade and defence cooperation across Europe to make sure that we protect ourselves from the damage that Trump will do. But, you know, it's also really important that we stand up for the core liberal values of equality, democracy, human rights and the rule of law. We'll continue to do that here in Parliament.
Now, the leader of your party, Sir Ed Davey, said that yesterday was a dark, dark day. What are your thoughts on that? And do you agree?
Yes, as I've mentioned, I think it's a really concerning time. And obviously, I'm the Lib Dem defence spokesperson, and I'm very concerned about the implication of Trump's win on the UK's security, NATO and the war in Ukraine. And I think this is really one of those moments in time where we've got to wake up. There's real concerns that if the US will not come to the aid of Ukraine, then quite frankly, the UK and Europe, you know, have got to step in, and it's time for Europe to lead within Europe. And I think one of the things that was disappointing to see in the budget is that whilst they outlined that there would be a path to 2.5% of defence spending of GDP, they didn't actually explain what that path would be. And what we need right now urgently is that this government commits to 2.5% of GDP spending on defence. And also, we need to start seizing the Russian frozen assets now and repurposing them for the good of Ukraine and reversing conservative cuts to our armed forces to keep Britain secure.
Moving on to the budget last week, what did you think of Rachel Reeves' budget?
So we absolutely welcomed the new funding for the NHS, the £22.6 billion, and there was also £3.1 billion of capital funding for the NHS estate. This is a debate that we as Liberal Democrats led, and we're really glad that this funding has been announced, because it's absolutely needed after the impact of the last Conservative government leaving the NHS in such a state. I was, however, disappointed that we didn't hear more about the new hospital programme. It's good that they've outlined that hospitals with RAC will be urgently addressed, but we do need more details now on the remaining hospitals. Because quite frankly, buildings at St Helier Hospital are deteriorating. You know, we've got sinking foundations, leaking roofs, infrastructure that's just simply not fit for purpose. And Epsom Hospital can't cope with the current demand. So we urgently need this new specialist emergency care hospital. And the Epsom and St Helier University Hospitals NHS Trust have just said they need more information now. They need to be able to plan. And quite simply, the constituents of Epsom and Yule can't wait any longer for their promised new hospital. And also, you know, the country simply shouldn't be forced to fund inefficient health provision either. I think on GPs, we did hear some information on GPs, and that was great. But unfortunately, I'm just hearing far too often from constituents that GPs can't get an appointment. It's great that there's some dedicated funding to improve GP practices, but we need more focus on recruitment and training of GPs. And I think it's also disappointing to hear that GP surgeries won't be eligible for the exemption from the government's employers' national insurance rise. You know, if we need to prioritise GPs, because we need to treat people in their community. If we catch the symptoms early, then they won't need to, you know, go to A&E. And unfortunately, we just see too many people presenting themselves at A&E with issues that could be sorted out locally. So if we support GPs, then it's better for the individual, and it costs the NHS less as well. And we've always been saying as Liberal Democrats that we believe that everyone should be able to see a GP within 7 days. We also in the budget didn't hear anything about dentistry, and I think that was disappointing as well. Unfortunately, tooth decay is the most common reason for hospital admission in children between age between 6 and 10. And since 2018, over 100,000 children have been admitted to hospital with rotting teeth. And the DARSI review found that only 30 and 40% of NHS dental practices are accepting new children and adult registrations respectively. So we absolutely need more funding to guarantee access to an NHS dentist for everyone who needs urgent and emergency care. I think the other thing that we didn't really hear from the budget and is disappointing is, I mean, there are so many charities in the constituency and they plug the gaps in the government's provisions. And as a consequence of this budget, charities of all sizes have effectively been let down. You know, there has been a decision to employ national insurance contributions, and yet we haven't seen them set out exemptions for this sector. So that's going to, you know, charities are going to take a massive hit as a result of that. But it's not just charities, small businesses and struggling care providers as well. You know, it's an unfair tax on small businesses and workers. And the government needs to find a way to support small businesses to thrive, to support our local high streets. And a lady called Sue, who runs local cost cutter stores, she employs 15 staff, and she reached out to me just after the budget. And she said that the increases in the national insurance and national living wage are really going to impact a business like hers that just needs a good workforce to give a good service. The business rates have almost doubled and there's just no room in their finances to reinvest in the business and to incentivize staff. So all of these burdens are just going to make it really difficult for her business to survive. And that's in particular as well with the current levels of shoplifting and antisocial behaviour. And her quote was, you know, instead of rewarding people that create wealth and jobs by investing and taking risks, the chancellor's seen a soft touch and penalising entrepreneurship. And, you know, I think her sentiment was that, you know, in an environment like this, there are going to be many business owners like her who might just think of packing up because it's just too difficult to make a living. I think the other thing we didn't hear too much about was the environment. And the health of our waterways is really important to our health. And in Epsom and Ewell, we've got two significant rivers, the Hogsmill, the beautiful Chalk River, and the River Mole, which is among one of the most polluted in the country. And in September, there was 1,371 hours of storm overflows. We know that the Environment Agency is grossly underfunded and it's not being able to properly enforce the law. And DEFRA, who actually funds the Environment Agency, is now facing a 1.9% cut in day-to-day spending. So what we need is assurances that this day-to-day spending cut is not going to result in a cut to the Environment Agency's funding. I think the other thing was the cost of living crisis, just looking at how this budget is actually going to affect people. So we welcome the minimum wage rise, you know, that is a good thing. And we know that the cost of living has been really hard on low-paid workers. This uplift is really going to help people with the rising cost of bills. But the high cost of living crisis has just left so many households on the brink. You know, people have got savings that are running low. They're obviously facing these increasing costs, increasing rent, and it could really tip households over the edge into a negative budget. And many of my constituents have already experienced this. And in Epsom and Ewell, we've got proportionately one of the highest numbers of homeless households living in temporary accommodation in England. So one of the things that we're urging the Chancellor to do is to reconsider the local housing allowance freeze, because rents have gone up by 8% since the last rise. This is unsustainable. So if that can somehow increase, at least in line with the rental increase, then it will help people who are really at the margins. And what we've been urging for from the government, you know, right from our manifesto, is that we need to look at raising money by reversing the Conservative tax cuts from big banks, asking social media giants to pay their fair share as well, not putting the burden on, you know, social care providers, GPs and charities and small businesses.
With a new budget increasing taxes on businesses, what do you think this means for local businesses in Epsom and Ewell, and how can they stay strong in this environment?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, for people like Sue, it's a really challenging environment. Any business that employs significant individuals, whether it's you're a cost cutter or whether you're a social care provider or whatever, suddenly your costs have gone up exponentially, and there's not going to be that headroom to reinvest when you will have wanted to. So, you know, at a point in time like this, you're just going to have to batten down the hatches. And what it will mean, unfortunately, is that these businesses are not going to look to grow. They're just going to look to try and stabilise and where they are. And I think that's disappointing in an environment, actually, where we want to be encouraging businesses to grow. And I don't see much additional support from the government for that.
Now, moving on to the importance of high quality healthcare, you've spoken about how your son ended up in intensive care suffering from bronchiolitis when he was just 6 weeks old. And you've said since then it's been your mission to improve healthcare. In the light of recent decisions on local healthcare funding, what specific measures are you advocating for to improve services in Epsom and Yule?
So the main thing that I've been campaigning on is the new hospital. It's really important. You know, if we get the new hospital and then the upgrade of Epsom and St Helier Hospital as well, it will really just help to provide that really urgent, high quality healthcare. And if we have high quality healthcare in the area and we have sufficient GPs and GP centres, then people aren't going to block A&E, then people are going to get the right treatment when they need it, and they'll get the absolute specialist support when they need it. And, you know, one of the things that I look back to as my son was ill is that, you know, he was fortunate that he was able to receive, you know, the absolute best care when he was, you know, at almost at death's door. And, you know, it's really important that everyone should be able to receive that, regardless of the kind of severity of the illness. So I'll, you know, continue to campaign for the new hospital, and I look forward, hopefully, to hearing new plans from the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care in the new year on when that will happen. But I'll continue to fight for the new hospital.
And you've also called for action on winterproofing health services regarding long A&E wait times in the area. What do you mean by winterproofing, and why is it so important right now?
Well, obviously, as you know, as we go into the winter, we know that NHS services are under pressure even more than ever before. And I think what was really disappointing in the budget was that whilst there was an announcement for £600 million of additional funding for social care, that there wasn't an explanation of or a pathway as to actually how we're going to sort out social care. We need to winterproof the health services, because we're going to start to see further admissions. And if we don't do that, then the hospital is going to, you know, be in crisis again this winter. But in order to winterproof them, we need to fix the social healthcare crisis. You know, we need to make sure that people can access their GPs so that fundamentally beds aren't blocked. You know, and too often we hear of cases where people are in hospital beds for sometimes up to 6 months because they can't find somewhere to leave, a social care place or whatever. So it's really important that we focus on this so that the hospitals can actually focus on the people that desperately need their support.
Moving on to gun laws, you've written to the Home and Health Secretary seeking changes in gun licensing laws following the deaths of Epsom College head teacher and her daughter Emma and Letty Patterson. What changes do you want to see in gun licensing laws to improve public safety?
Yeah, so this was a really tragic case and really tragic deaths. And the coroner highlighted a couple of areas where he felt there were some loopholes. So unfortunately, there seemed to be a loophole where George Patterson was able to access medication through an online GP, and this wasn't reported to his GP at all. So when the assessment was done for a firearms license, he didn't have knowledge that he had a history of depression. And also initially when the police attended some previous historical events, there wasn't any recognition about a pattern of coercive controlling behaviour. And so all of this information had actually come together at a certain point in time. And certainly when the gun licence was reviewed, then there might have been a different outcome. So what we're calling for really is that we need to have a full disclosure of medical history. There needs to be a way that when people are, you know, buying things online, that it's actually reported to the GP. And, you know, we've asked for some changes in practices with the police so they can actually better, understand and better kind of highlight coercive controlling behaviour, so that when gun licences are assessed and reviewed, that they can actually hopefully come to different conclusions armed with all of the evidence. And I know that Surrey Police have taken this on board and have changed their procedures since this these tragic deaths.
And how do you think the case of Emma and Letty Patterson has affected public opinion on gun laws, and how can this help your cause?
Well, I think that, you know, many people, since I've been campaigning on it, a number of organisations have reached out to me, to talk about the challenge of violence against women and girls. And it's obviously an issue that many people are campaigning on at the moment. As I mentioned, it obviously highlights some of the serious loopholes that are there. And I hope that ultimately, you know, we'll see some positive outcomes from the Secretary Ofsted for Health and Social Care and from the Home Secretary as well.
Moving on to winter fuel payment cuts, how do you think this is going to affect residents in your area?
Yeah, so I'm really concerned about this because I've had many constituents who are just above the threshold for pension credit who've contacted me about how the lack of this allowance is going to affect them. And it's going to have a particular significant impact on those who've got ill health, because if you've got ill health, then it's more likely that you're going to need the heating on earlier and for longer. And while pensioners have been asked to apply for pension credit, I recently spoke to Dora May, so she's from Age Concern in Epsom and Newell, and she said that applying for a pension credit is a minefield. So what they do in Age Concern is they actually go to people's homes and support them in applying for the pension credit. And so I think this really just highlights how complicated the system is. And I'm just really concerned that there's lots of people out there who just simply, you know, they might be eligible for the pension credit, but they won't have to apply for it. And then, unfortunately, they're not going to have that vital funding that's going to help heat their home this winter.
And for those people who are struggling and maybe don't know what to do about it, what advice can you give them and what should they do? Where can they go for help?
Yeah, so I think please get them to reach out to Age Concern in Epsom and Ewell. They can absolutely help, and also the Citizens Advice Bureau in Ewell, and there's one in Leatherhead as well. And they will be able to point you in the right direction about how to apply for pension credit.
And finally, Remembrance Sunday is coming up this weekend. Are there any events happening in Epsom and Ewell that people can come down and join?
Yes, there are a number of events. There are events in lots of different churches around the constituency. There's an event at St. Martin's, at St. Mary's, and there are events in Ashdod as well. It's going to be an absolute busy weekend of remembrance services, and I look forward to leading the commemoration and remembrance of all those from Epsom, Ewell, Ashdod and Leatherhead who made the ultimate sacrifice for their country. Because without their sacrifice, we wouldn't have benefited from the freedoms that we have today. And I think in this really global and unstable world, it's even more important than ever that we remember. And I was absolutely delighted that yesterday I could be part of the Royal British Legion's annual poppy ride that challenges MPs and peers to cycle as far as they can, raising funds and awareness for the poppy peel. So that the male and female parliamentarian who cycled the furthest distance in 5 minutes is eventually presented with a Yellow Legion jersey, and I gave it my all, and I'm proud to say that I've brought the yellow jersey home to Epsom and Ewell.
Well done. How does it feel to bring that back home?
It's good. I was sort of I wasn't sure how it would go. I set my sights out, and there was tough competition, I will say, it certainly wasn't easy at all, but it was good fun to take part, and I'm glad that we've raised lots of funds and awareness.
And finally, how important is it to continue hosting these services every year?
It's so important that we remember the sacrifice that veterans made, and as I mentioned, in this really, you know, unstable global world, we have to remember that the sacrifice of people that came before us is that permitted us to have the freedoms that we have today. So it's just so important that every year we take that time out of our day to remember the sacrifices that they made.